In the classic lesbian film Desert Hearts, which I heartily recommend if you've never seen it, a professor named Vivian Bell comes out to Reno from the East Coast and establishes residency in Nevada by living at a dude ranch for several weeks in order to obtain a divorce, as one apparently did in the 1950s and 60s. There are a number of great lines in this film, including one from the scene where our protagonist has gone into town and is wandering through a casino. The buttoned-up Professor Vivian stops and stares at wonder at a Hungarian woman who is vigorously using both arms to play two slot machines at once, which is probably quite a workout in the days of the truly mechanical one-armed bandits. The determined and undeterred gambler shrugs and says, "If you don't play, you can't win." Pause with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable instruments in opening our hearts to love and to serve. Amen. So here's the thing. I think of myself as a pretty risk-averse person. I don't feel a need to jump out of airplanes or off bridges. I don't get excited about IPOs or derivatives. I don't want to be the first person to have all the new techie toys. I have had the same job for 29 years. I always buckle my seatbelt. And probably 80% of my wardrobe is black. And although I'm up here today, from as far back into childhood as I can remember, I was very shy, painfully bashful, hugely afraid of having to talk to people I didn't know well. I tried to hide behind my parents, my less introverted friends, my very extroverted brother. I don't entirely know why I found this all so terribly discomforting from such a young age, and I'm very grateful for the slow abatement of this terror over the decades. I'm pretty okay with where I am now on the social anxiety scale, meaning that I'm at least able to fake it when necessary. I'm often in situations where, for one reason or another, I'm just a little bit different than the people around me, and I think it has just taken my naturally shy and reticent self this long to more or less accept that I'm kind of an outlier, that as Popeye would say, I yam what I yam. And surely one of the blessings of crossing the 50-year mark is being ever so slightly less concerned with what other people think. I still have pangs at cocktail parties or coffee hours or having to make telephone calls, but I can do them. And here's the thing. Sometimes, to my unending surprise, it's even enjoyable. Slowly, with practice and little patience, and with faltering and stumbling, I suspect that I might be figuring out that opening up to engagement with other people leads to connection, to joy, to love. Ah, love. So lovely. So comforting. So soothing. Joyous. Exciting. Nauseating. Infuriating. Thrilling, deepening, heightening, spine-tingling, heart-expanding love. There's a poem that Reverend Chris read once in a sermon, which Fen Duncan, my late wife, immediately went home, printed out, and kept on her desk. It goes like this. Admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, love me. Of course, you do not do this out loud. Otherwise, someone would call the cops. Still, though, think about this great pull in us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with a full moon in each eye that is always saying, with that sweet moon language, what every other eye in this world is dying to hear? That's Hafiz. And Fen immediately got it, felt it, and knew its truth, that we all have a great desire to be loved, a longing to connect, and that we are so often afraid to acknowledge this in ourselves, and that just possibly there could be immense reward in reaching out with love. And we are a society, a culture that certainly embraces putting ourselves out there in so many other robust and hearty ways. And we all can come up with the signposts of the great American way that cheer us on to greatness. Go for the gusto. No risk, no reward. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. We're Americans. We know how to go for it, to reach for the brass ring. But here's the rub. Risking love means being vulnerable. Ew. As the renowned researcher Brené Brown says, the difficult thing is that vulnerability is the first thing I look for in you and the last thing I'm willing to show you. In you, it's courage and daring. In me, it's weakness. She also says, I spent a lot of years trying to outrun or outsmart vulnerability by making things certain and definite, black and white, good and bad. My inability to lean into the discomfort of vulnerability limited the fullness of those important experiences that are wrought with uncertainty, love, belonging, trust, joy, and creativity, to name a few. So there. Okay, I know what some of you are thinking. It's not worth it. It doesn't always go well. We get hurt, betrayed, and it happens to the best of us. Jesus of Nazareth, you can read the story in some more detail in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew in the New Testament, had gathered for an intimate Passover meal with his 12 apostles, those friends he said had stood beside him in his trials. Immediately after that dinner, he went out to the Mount of Olives to pray, and upon rejoining his friends, Judas Iscariot, one of those close 12, greeted him with a kiss, which was a sign to the high priests and temple guard that this was the dangerous rabble-rouser they wanted to arrest. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed Jesus. Ouch. Moreover, while Jesus was facing charges, another one of these same 12, Simon, was hanging around the edges waiting for news. A woman recognized him and asked if he wasn't one of Jesus' people. And Simon, not once, but three times, denied knowing the man he had spent the last 3 years with. Ouch. One May, just about 10 years ago, I'm back in Michigan for a visit with my parents, having a great special meal out in the quaint and fun German town of Frankenmuth to celebrate both Mother's and Father's Days, laughing and talking. And a couple of months later, I'm back for my father's funeral after he takes his own life. Ouch. We meet someone, we like someone, we get to know someone, we fall in love. Maybe we marry, promising till death do us part. And maybe we've had it happen to us, or we've done it, or we have friends and family who can tell this story. There's infidelity. There's betrayal. There are unexpected big changes, and the relationship is over, and we are staggeringly, astonishingly, unbelievably alone again. Ouch. Or perhaps, if we're really lucky, it really is death that parts us. But maybe too soon, maybe in painful ways, or violent ones, or sudden ones, or slow ones. Ouch. Yes, to risk is to risk losing. To risk our hearts is to risk having them cracked open. And yeah, I know that's how the light gets in. But I'm not inclined to soft sell, to downplay that pain. As many of you know, I'm just a little over a year from the death of my beloved wife, Fen, whom some of you knew. It has not been fun or easy, this work of grieving, and I don't recommend it at all. And I think I am one of the luckiest people I know. I am so grateful for the love and the years and the lives we shared. And although I know I will miss that woman for the rest of my life, I am totally convinced that grief is just the price of love, and I am equally convinced that, yes, it is worth it. And yes, I would do it again. Love another person to the extent my somewhat sadder but ever expanding heart allows. I'm working on it. Because what am I here for if not to love? And how can I love if I don't connect? And how can I connect if I don't open myself to that, make a conscious choice to be vulnerable? In a book I like quite a lot, titled Radical Acceptance by psychotherapist and Buddhist meditation teacher Tara Brach, she quotes Thich Nhat Hanh as saying that when you say something like, I love you, with your whole being, not just with your mouth or your intellect, it can transform the world. Tara goes on to say that because we are interconnected, when we awaken love in ourselves and express it, our love changes the world around us. The hearts of those we touch are opened, and they, in turn, touch the hearts of others. Love is the basic nature, the goodness of all beings, waiting to manifest. Whether we offer love in silent prayer or aloud, we are helping love to flower in all beings everywhere. This expression of our deepest nature is the living power of loving kindness. As the Buddha said, it glows, it shines, it blazes forth. If it's true, and I suspect it is, that hatred can never be overcome by hatred, but only by love, and that amor vincit omnia, love conquers all, and that we are hardwired in the very core of our beings for love, then I understand a bit more what John the Evangelist is saying when he writes in his first epistle, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and whoever loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The great mystery of life, that which creates and sustains and redeems us, which we know by many names and experience in many ways, is this powerful force we call love. So I'm all in. And I know you are too, in this place where we find ourselves in no small part because it is an oasis where love is found, nurtured, and carried out. Being part of this South Church community and seeing and knowing how we hold each other up, how we catch each other when we stumble, how fiercely we defend what and who we love, it makes me want to try a little harder. Makes it safer to risk a little more, to make changes in our lives that we know we need to make, to lean into the discomfort of vulnerability, to risk certainty for uncertainty, to thus follow a dream, to not die slowly, to once in a while go to coffee hour and talk to somebody, to connect, to understand and accept that no matter what, this life is pretty short and there's just no time to hang back scared. I'd like to close with a Mary Oliver poem called I Did Think, Let's Go About This Slowly. I did think, let's go about this slowly. This is important. This should take some really deep thought. We should take small, thoughtful steps. But bless us, we didn't. Amen.